Welcome to Conversations with Anne Elizabeth, the podcast inspired by my book. I'm a registered dietitian, Now What?, where I have the absolute joy just to sit back, relax, and have a conversation about nutrition with a variety of people who share their personal story of passion and purpose, especially registered dietitians. Today's conversation is with Maria Bach, a second career registered dietitian who started her professional life as an analytical chemist for more than 10 years. While working as a chemist, she sparked an interest in bodybuilding, which led her to some disordered eating and a poor relationship with food. And the rest is history into dietetics. She is the founder and owner of Trek Nutrition, where she specializes in working with the recreational athlete and bodybuilding nutrition. Please enjoy my conversation with Maria. Oh, funny. All right. Well, Maria, this is fun because we are podcasting in person, which I don't get to do all the time.
Yes,
which is exciting. A blast. But I'm so excited you're here today. We are in my house. We're having a couple cocktails and some conversation. So it'll be great to get a little bit more background about you. So everyone who's listening, Maria is, she used to be my intern and now she's a full-fledged registered dietitian, but she has such a crazy cool background too. And she has a lot of experience in dietetics even before she became a dietitian. So maybe take me back. When did you kind of think dietetics, nutrition, when did you find that to be your kind of passion, what you want to do when you grew up?
Yeah, I never was interested in dietetics growing up. I actually graduated with a chemistry degree, so got into quality control testing. So I was in the industry for almost 10 years doing that, but I got into bodybuilding in about 2015. And so I started competing and went through that whole process and just kind of fell in love with resistance training and nutrition and just was so just blown away at how the body can change in response to training and nutrition. So that's what kind of got me started and started doing my own research and experimenting on myself. And
here we are.
Decided to go back to school and 6 years later, here we are.
And being in chemistry, okay. So like all, I'm sure you've heard throughout all the lives of dietitians, like we just like chemistry is our least favorite class. So at least that was easy for you, right?
Well, like, well. It was very, very difficult, but it was one of the, I have always been interested in math and science. Growing up, that was my jam. So I knew I wanted to do something with math and science. And so literally in college, I was just like, hey, what degree can I get to graduate in the quickest time? No, chemistry. And I'm like, okay, cool. It sounds good.
That's probably not the first choice of a lot of people. But right. Hey, as long as it propels you through school faster, that's yes. Good. With your job, so maybe let's talk about your chemistry job. Mm-hmm. Did that ever touch on any like dietetics, nutrition type things that kind of were like little hints throughout your career before you did this?
It did. Yeah. I worked for a food ingredient company actually, but I worked in the, mostly the livestock animals. Mm. So we made ingredients that went into livestock feed. So we tested those materials. So it was very, nutrition related. And so, you know, helping the animals with gut health and, mineral supplementation and everything like that. So it was very much related and
totally.
It was very interesting and I had a lot of fun doing it. So that's, yeah, probably.
That's interesting. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Like, I always think there's little hints that get dropped along your way and maybe don't, like you said, like in high school and college, I wasn't even thinking about it, but then sometimes a career or something that you do, like volunteer, it's like, oh, wait, I guess I did do that.
Yeah.
Or that was touch or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I liked it.
Maybe. So how did you get interested in bodybuilding? So that's always an interesting story because that's not easy.
No, not at all. I was actually living in Chicago at the time. I went and lived in Chicago for a couple years. And the gym that I was working out at, I befriended a personal trainer there. And he was just like, hey, I've always wanted to do a bodybuilding show. I think I'm going to train for it. Do you want to train along with me? And I'm like, yeah, why not? I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of started training, not knowing what I was doing at all, and started training and did a show. I did absolutely terrible.
But you did it.
But I did it.
Yeah.
And I had a blast. And I think the key for me was like the process going into it. You know, it was, of course, stage is fun and like it was a blast getting all dolled up, and but it was the process, it was the challenge of being disciplined and structured, and that's really what I fell in love with. So.
And did you work with a dietitian during that time, or did you have to kind of research all that nutrition stuff yourself?
Yep, I researched on myself and just kind of tried things, and I was like, okay, I see my body changing and it's kind of working. I don't know if this is where I need to be, but yeah.
You're like an N of one. You're like, I'm just my own little research project.
Exactly.
Which I think a lot of us dietitians do that mm-hmm. with everything in yep. a sense. So then when you were doing all your training, you did your show. So how did you say, oh, maybe I want to be a dietitian? And did you even know, like, did you think, oh, I want to be a nutritionist, or, oh, I think I want to, like, how did that kind of work for you?
Yeah. So after that first show, I ended up getting a coach and joined a competition team. So then I was introduced to macros and kind of followed a meal plan and didn't really know what I was doing.
You're just doing it.
I was like, all right, sure, I can follow that. So it's kind of under her. And when I was doing that, since I didn't really know what I was doing, I was doing the same thing over and over and over again, got really burnt out. So I think a lot of disordered eating came out of that. Mm-hmm. And I got really burnt out after a couple of shows. Just from the restriction, I kind of had the all out binge, and then I'd feel really guilty about it. And I'd go work out 3 times the next day and, mm-hmm. you know, just, okay, now I got to get back on track, and I can't do this. And, you know, seeing some weight gain post show, which is natural. Mm-hmm. You need to do that because stage lean isn't sustainable. Just messes with your head, and then it's a bad deal. So I'm like, I see these pros on stage, and I'm like, they can't feel like this, you know, like this is not sustainable, like this mindset. And so I'm like, there's got to be a better way. And so yeah, just did some more research and literally experimented again with myself, and I was like, I just got to set my physique goals aside. And I gained weight and developed a better relationship with food, and I was like, oh my god, like this is amazing. And so I was like, there's a way, you know. I know a lot of people feel stuck and doing the same thing over and over again and just have a bad relationship with food and hear all of the crap that goes on. And
and for you to experience it yourself and mm-hmm. not even like being, you know, you didn't intentionally do it. It just kind of happens. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think a lot of disordered eating comes from. Don't mm-hmm. you kind of think so too?
I agree.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not that you're trying to do anything wrong, but then you start to, you do something and you're like, ooh, I see that change and I don't like that change. So uh-huh. I'm going to even, like you said, go work out more, eat differently. So that's interesting for you that you had that same experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So throughout all that research, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I love learning about it. I love seeing the changes in my mindset and my body and all of this. And I was like, I feel like this is something I want to do.
So you started,
decided to go back to school from there.
And you went all back in. Like, you had to start, did you have to start all over? Did some of your chemistry stuff, did that transfer for you?
A lot of it transferred, which is great.
Thank God.
And originally I wasn't going to go the dietitian route initially. I was just like, okay, I'll get a master's in nutrition. That'll count for something. And about halfway through my program, I was like, man, I'm really like, feel like I'm missing that like foundation of dietetics, you know, like there's, you could just tell like mm-hmm. something was kind of missing. And not that my master's program was bad by any means, I absolutely loved it and learned a lot, but yeah, just that foundation was missing. So halfway through that, I decided, okay, let's go be a dietitian somehow. What is that going to take? So I finished up my master's program and found out it would only take about 3 semesters back at Iowa State to get the rest of the dietetics courses that I needed. So I ended up being about 7 credits shy of a dietetics bachelor's in dietetics.
Gotcha.
But it was like a microbiology lab, and I'm no.
Oh, yeah,
I don't care.
I'm not going to do that. No. Especially when you already have your master's
right.
in nutrition.
Yeah. It's like, it's not going to matter. So
yes, absolutely not.
Yeah. So did 3 semesters at Iowa State and then started my internship, and here we are.
Here you are. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So you went to, you went to a lot of school after.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you look back at that, you're like, oh gosh, I went to a lot of semesters of school.
No, I'm done.
It's like, so are you to go back? Do we feel a PhD in our future?
No. Oh, nope.
That's off the table.
Like, oh, great.
So you did finish up like your, was it like your didactic work then at Iowa State?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And then you internship. What was your internship and where did you do that at?
Mm-hmm. I interned with Keith and Associates, distance internship program out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what brought me to them was it was a distance program. So I was, you know, being in the workforce and just having a house here and, you know, friends here, I was like, I'm kind of, my roots are here. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really want to go somewhere else for an internship program. Mm-hmm. So I, that was appealing. And also they have a part-time option. And so I was like, oh, okay, I can work and do that. You know, eventually I want to, you know, do what I'm doing anyways. So I'll just do a part-time option. And I can still work and, you know, support myself and do that. So that was appealing. And then also they had a concentration in business and entrepreneurship.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's like the trifecta of what I'm looking
all
for.
The things.
So, yeah. So that was my first choice and I ended up getting in and great program. And that was kind of post COVID. And so we actually had orientation in person, which didn't happen the last couple of years. So it was kind of, you know, but ended up being great. And I still felt connected with colleagues and everything in the program and got to choose my own rotations here in Des Moines. And it was a great experience. It was nice to kind of customize my what my internship looked like.
Right. And do that part-time option because you already had a business in place, right?
Yes.
Yes. And what's the name of your business?
Trek Nutrition is my business.
And yes. How did you start that after your at Iowa? Were you doing it at Iowa State or were you doing it after you were at Iowa State?
Right before I started Iowa State. Yep. Is when I started Trek.
And you were working, you said you like recreational athletes. That's kind of your focus. So that was the focus then too.
Yes.
Yep. So you always kind of had that business plan in your mind. So you really could kind of take the internship and kind of tailor it to be
exactly
what you needed for your business too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Smart.
Yes.
So smart. I love that. And that's how we cross paths. Mm-hmm. So you did some community nutrition with me.
Yeah.
She got to do a lot of fun school.
That was a blast.
School activities with kiddos. And you had a fun thing happen to you before you started. Was it before you started your internship or was it during?
Yes. A couple months before.
Yeah. You found out you were expecting.
I did. Yes. Found out I was expecting a baby girl a couple months before I started my internship. So she ended up coming halfway through and
thank goodness it was all a part-time and flexible and
it couldn't have worked out better.
Yes.
Honestly, every preceptor I had was so flexible and accommodating and just, you know, oh, take your time, whatever you need. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
this isn't real.
Yeah. Right. Like, oh, yeah.
I think that's what it has to be like anymore, just because there are so many non-traditional mm-hmm. students and there's so many people having so many things going on in their lives and they want to live their lives too. And there's more to this world than dietetics, right?
Yes.
I always tell people that, like, there's like dietitian emergencies and there's other things going on. So,
right.
So got done with your internship just not that long ago.
Yeah. This past fall.
September,
October.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I took your test. And
took my test. Yes.
December. So now she's smooth sailing.
I'm done.
So share more about your business, kind of what your kind of goal is with your business and your clients and kind of what that future looks like for you.
Yeah. So like I said, I typically work with recreational athletes, although I've worked with, you know, other people as well. And, kind of having the main mission of finding a long-term sustainable plan and, you know, not about fads or quick fixes, you know, and it's so individualized. And so, you know, I need a meal plan. I just need to be told what to do. Well, mm-hmm. you know, are you going to do that 5 years from now? You know, can you see yourself doing this 5 years from now? If the answer is no, then what are we doing? You know, if you're going to lose 20 pounds, if you put it back on and just revert to old habits and behaviors, what are we doing? Like, no, we're going to like sit down and figure this out and find a plan that works for you. So that's, again, look different for everybody. And most of the people that I work with are kind of in the boat of we work out consistently, but we're just looking for a healthy lifestyle. And so that's kind of my main clientele and people who I work with. I do work with a couple competitors as well, so it's a little more regimented and structured and a little more complex. But for the most part, it's, you know, how can we do this long term? How can we, you know, how can you learn about nutrition?
And kind really be the teacher now to help people.
Yes. And so that just looks so different for everybody. And so it's kind of, yeah, that's kind of the main mission is, you know, finding a long term sustainable plan that works for you.
What do you feel like is your biggest challenge with, because I feel like people in that recreational space, they're, I mean, everyone's an athlete, but they also, again, there's so much noise out in the interwebs, and you are, you know, like you're one of the few that are the trifecta, right? Like you have the RD degree, you have the master's in nutrition, you have the experience in the place and the space of exercise. And so what is your, feel like the biggest challenge is with those sweet recreational athletes that want to know all the macros, all the things, and like, what do you get the most? Like the meal plan is probably a huge one.
Yes.
What else do you kind of get?
It's filtering through all the bullshit. It, literally, it's like carbs are terrible. Like I will not eat carbs, or, you know, all these myths that just, I'm like, I thought we were over this.
Like, you do, right?
Yeah, you do. You're like, everybody's got to know by now, right?
Yeah.
Oh no.
It just, you know, circles back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and I completely understand. I never blame anybody for, you know, thinking a certain way, because there's just so much crap on the internet, and, you know, you hear things from everybody, and, oh, this works. No, this works. No, you should do this. And, oh, this person saw results, so you should do that. And it's literally just filtering through and changing people's mindset of, no, it's really not that complicated.
Well, and that has to be hard, because I feel like in that fitness space, I mean, we all do kind of think we know something about health because, you know, we have big muscles, or we can run and be on a treadmill for half an hour. You know, like, I think like that, I feel like that kind of makes people think that they know next level about nutrition.
Yep.
But then they really don't, because they don't have that education.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what you see too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sit down with like your clients, like, do you, you know, it's always fun to like say, yes, you should do this. But I feel like, do you feel like you have to have like all these conversations to kind of like clear their heads and be like, okay, let's start fresh.
Yeah, literally. It's like, forget everything you were told. Just forget all of it.
And they probably lose their minds.
But wait, yeah. And so, but I really, really love seeing the aha moment, you know, when the light bulb goes off and it's like, oh my gosh, like I totally thought this and it isn't. And I'm like, see, like, it's really, really cool.
So you really take that personalized nutrition with them, and you can talk to them about like their fitness goals and like, what do they really want? Is it mostly like getting big muscles and losing weight? Is that kind of the
losing weight? Yep.
Is that for both men and women?
Yes.
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 Interesting.
So. Mm-hmm.
Does everybody need to lose weight?
No.
No. That's the other thing too. It's like, do you need to lose weight?
And yeah, that's a big part of it. Is like, no, you just need to fuel your body and train. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to lose weight to be shredded and. Like, just lift some weights and fuel your body with the right foods.
And you're going to be good.
That's it.
Yeah. So kind of what's your, if you had to give like a general good cocktail of nutrition for people, like, you know, when it comes to, of course, there's, you know, so much percentage of fat and so much percent of carbs. Do you do it that way with them, or how do you kind of educate your clients?
Yeah. So some people, I do macros that, just from my own experience, that was a good learning tool. And again, that's not for everybody. I don't use macros with everybody, but especially for the competitors and the more seasoned athletes who have done it before, it just works for them and it's easy. But kind of for the more, how do you want to say it? The people who don't know as much or, you know, are kind of new to this, we're kind of more focusing on, okay, what does your protein intake look like? You know, are you getting a protein at each meal and snack? What's your water intake look like? You know, how's your energy levels during your workouts? So we're kind of really pulling in all these pieces of energy and hunger and protein and, you know, how you're feeling overall, sleep and stress and all of these factors that play into it, rather than just, okay, no, you need to be giving X grams of protein, X grams of carbs, all that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I always think that that's something that gets totally lost in translation is like the sleep and stress.
Absolutely.
And they don't even think of it. It's not even on their radar.
And that's one of the main things is it's lifestyle factors. You know, I always tell people you can get the most perfect nutrition plan, but if you don't follow it, what's the point?
Right.
It's, you know, why isn't it being followed? You know, are you not planning or prepping ahead? Are you, you know, not getting enough sleep and just, you know, you're extra hungry? What all these factors that kind of play into it.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. Do you get questions about supplements?
All the time.
What's the most common one you get questions about?
It's, yeah, what should I be taking? And I say, well, what are you eating?
Yes. So, like, start there first,
yes,
right?
Yes. Food first approach always. I mean, supplements have their time and place, but I always say, look at your food first. Yeah. What are you eating? If you're doing, you know, things all you can optimally through food, yes, we can maybe start talking about supplements, but.
But you never, ever put that in your first line of defense.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Nope.
I always get the one about, like, those energy, like, stacker ones and, like, things that, like, what is that, branched-chain amino acids?
Uh-huh.
Like, I see people drinking those constantly, and I'm like, are they even doing anything for you? Probably not. Maybe you could just eat some good protein and
exactly.
get those same things.
Yep.
So I'm sure, like, because is your business in a gym, is it in a gym, by a gym? Do you work within a facility, or how does that work for you?
I am partnered with a local gym here in Des Moines, CC Strength Academy. So, yes, I used to have an office within their gym, but I now just work virtually with, we're kind of partnered. So they'll refer their people to me, and I'll kind of refer some people to them. So, we have a good relationship.
Like, walk around the gym and say, okay, what's going on? What are you doing? I'm watching you.
Yeah. And it's been great because I've got to do a couple seminars from there people can come in and learn. And
yeah, I was going to ask if you did even like presentations and things like that for groups.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I love it. Yeah. Yes. And actually, like, that's kind of a comfort thing for me is I'm not usually comfortable talking in front of people. And so I've kind of had to step out and, again, it's part of it's, you know, helping me communicate with people and, you know, getting out of my comfort zone and, you know, sharing my knowledge and expertise and really helping people ultimately.
That's the goal of us,
that's
right?
That's
what dietitians want to be when they want to be helpers, they want to be caretakers.
That's right.
So when you think about your business, if you were like talking to another dietitian, like if they were looking at going into something similar to you, do you have some recommendations of like good quality or resources that you think are, you know, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, what do you think about this supplement or what do you think about this diet? Like, as far as athletes, do you go to some certain resources that you think are really good quality ones that, you know, for the dietitian that's looking for that information?
That's a good question.
Probably nothing super specific, but I guess like when you think about, you know, like guys are looking at bodybuilder.com and stuff like that. So like, I hope dietitians aren't looking at those sites, right? But like, if there's a place that you think is a good place to, like, if there was someone that came and talked to you about a supplement, like researching it as far as the athlete, like, would you recommend any certain website or book or something that has been helpful to you?
Guy I follow on Instagram, Lane Norton, if you're familiar with him.
I love him.
Him and Holly Baxter are a couple that I follow quite frequently. So they have a lot of great information. He has a lot of different resources. He has some books and just a lot of free content, you know, YouTube videos that are really helpful. And yeah, he has a PhD, so he's extremely knowledgeable, extremely evidence-based. So,
His wife is she's a dietitian, isn't she? Or she is a dietitian from her country.
Yes.
Yeah, she's Australia. A practicing dietitian. And then she also is into bodybuilding, right?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So kind of like, again, along the same lines of you and what your interests are I enjoy his like debunking videos.
Yes. He's very blunt and just very real. And he just puts it in a way that's so understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you, like just thinking about like what you were saying before too, is the whole calories in, calories out kind of principle. Is that kind of how you practice as well?
I do. I think it's important that people do understand science because, again, I think that's a thing that people, well, no, it's not all about calories. Well, it is, but
at the end of the day, that's like the measurement.
That's it. But again, there's a lot of factors that play into that. So again, what you're taking in may not be what you're taking out. You know, there's a lot of factors that play into that. But ultimately, the law of thermodynamics exists.
Sure.
So yeah, I can't go against that.
So true. So true. I also love to, it's interesting. Like, what do you think about like neat energy? And like, I think there's just so much that I did not learn about that, like going through school. So I think that is such a whole next level thing that is becoming talked about more.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of, a lot of information coming out about that, which is so interesting. And, what, at least from what I understand, is that's kind of the one of the main drivers for a plateau, quote unquote plateau, is, you know, if you're eating in a calorie deficit and you just don't naturally move as much. And so for those who don't know what NEAT is, it's non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So it's the fidgeting and the blinking and the toe tapping that you're just not aware of. And so as your body tries to conserve energy, you just don't do that as much. You're not walking as much. You just are naturally more unconscious of it. So I think, and I don't know the source off the top of my head, but they said that's kind of the main driver of kind of hitting that plateau is just decreasing. Not moving as much.
Yeah.
And so.
So if you're cutting your calories too much and then you don't have any energy to do anything, then it's like all cyclical.
Yes.
Yeah. So interesting.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you kind of see in as far as your business and the kind of the future of where you want to kind of go with your business? What does that kind of look like for you?
Yeah, I still really love the recreational athlete population. I do like the amateur competitor population as well, just because I'm immersed in it as well. And I just find it so much fun and interesting. And I continue to learn about it, you know, more and more and apply what I'm learning. So, definitely that population I want to keep, but potentially expand out, you know, in the competitive world as well.
So maybe I'm just out of curiosity, just like if you were going to be working with a competitive woman, what is that like time frame kind of look like? How long is the prep time for someone as far as their nutrition and their training, and what kind of cycles does it go through during that time?
Yeah, so it completely depends on where you're starting from. And again, for bodybuilding purposes, I mean, you need to be very, very lean to step on stage. So, you know, you're
lean, like what percent body fat? Because, you know, do they go by body fat? Is that what they do?
Yeah. You can, with the bikini division, they don't. I mean, I would probably, you know, 10 to 12%, which is very, very lean. Mm-hmm. So, and not sustainable. So, again, people starting from, you know, if you have a lot of weight to lose, you're obviously going to need to start way, 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 way earlier. And again, you know, you're being judged on your physique. So you need to have some amount of muscle mass, again, which takes time to build. So you may need to go through several phases of cutting and building muscle mass and cutting again. But you know, before you're even ready to step on stage. But some people come in and it's, you know, I just want to try it. You know, I may not be where I want to be, but I just want to do it just to get my feet wet, which is great. And that's totally fine. Again, with the understanding that, you know, I might not come in lean enough, or, you know, I may need a lot more muscle mass to be competitive, but, you know, do you just want to compete just see what it's like?
Experience.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, cause that's kind of what you did personally, right? Like you're like, I'll just try and see what happens.
I didn't understand.
And then the next time around. So like for you, when you did your training the next time around, so after that first time, what did that kind of time period look like for you? Since you had been kind of working out and you were kind of familiar with the regimen.
Yeah. So I did that show, April 2015, I believe. And then I competed that next fall twice. Okay. So I was already pretty lean, in that show. So I just kind of continued, and then I shouldn't have, but then I decided to do another show that following May in 2016. And I shouldn't have done that because I was very burnt out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was just kind of very back to back, and I needed some time to really, really build. So I needed a good off season to build some muscle mass.
Which requires you to eat more food, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's the thing that people don't understand. Like, for those, like you said, you have your cutting and you have your building. During the building, you have to eat a lot of food.
And that's almost the harder part, at least for me. In my experience, is it's hard not, you know, you experience the leanness, you know, of stage. Again, it's not sustainable, but... And then to put that weight back on, you know, you don't see the lines and the shreds that you normally see, and you're eating a lot of food, and you're like, man, like, I just want to be back at that, you know? So you get a lot, very impatient, but again, to be competitive, you have to embrace both seasons.
The cutting and the shredding, or the cutting and the building part.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, but I'm in a building phase right now. I'm working with a coach, and I'm eating a lot.
Are
more
you?
Than I've ever had. Yep. So again,
that's fun.
Yeah. So I've had some Girl Scout cookies.
Ooh, it's that time of year.
Some Sour Patch Kids. And it's, again, I'm uncomfortable, you know, because again, my body's just not used to that many calories. So having to kind of go through some digestion issues and maybe shifting some food around.
That's probably a big thing too. Yeah.
Ooh. Yep. So, again, it's a learning experience for me. But again, it's, you need it to build muscle.
Yeah. I think I love that a dietitian is doing a bodybuilding, because I think like it gets a bad rap, you know,
absolutely.
Like, and I think a lot of people think, oh, it is disordered eating. But again, it's discipline. It's trial and error, and of one, trying to see how things work, don't work. And some people just like that competitive situation, like you.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be disordered eating. Like, you can do it in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Again, like, being that lean isn't healthy, but again, it's knowing that you're not going to stay there. You're going to come out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you're not going to do back-to-back competitions where,
right.
Don't make that mistake, right? I think that's really cool. And I think that it's cool that you're in this space where you've gone through it yourself and you want to help people do it in a good, healthy way, and that you're, you know, helping athletes really, really just figure out it's not as difficult as they're making it to be. They make it so complicated.
Yeah. And I think it too, since it's so science-based, you know, you can teach people how to do it, but I think going through it just kind of adds an extra layer of, I understand what you're going through, and I understand the mindset and the frustration, and like, I mean, you're going to be hungry when you're cutting, you know, getting close to a show, you're going to be hungry. It's going to suck, but I just embrace the suck and understand that you're going to be hungry and you're going to be tired and you're going to be sore. But that's what you're doing. That's the challenge of it. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't see people walking around with, you know, shredded and six packs everywhere.
Right. That's so true. So true. Do you have to ask about the tanning stuff? Like, tell me all about that. I know this has nothing to do with dietetics, but
I
just think, I'm like, I want to try it and see what it looks like sometime.
Yeah. So, it is a thick layer
is
of
it?
Tan. It looks great on stage, but it is so gross.
Is it?
It's so gross. It gets everywhere.
Oh.
And it smells.
Oh.
So one thing is, you can't wear deodorant.
Oh.
Yeah. So
Ooh.
Everybody stinks.
Oh,
so you have the smell of the tan and then no deodorant on top of that. So everybody stinks.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, you go in and they tan you naked. I mean, you just strip down and they'll spray you down and... You sleep overnight like that, and then they do another coat the next day, and
oh wow,
you're set.
Interesting.
Yes.
Do they just have like a pop up tent? They just like
literally
put
yes.
you all in.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. Just rotate you through.
I mean,
put your hair net, and there you go.
That is crazy. Why can't you wear deodorant? Because it like would like mess with the tan part.
Yep, it reacts with the tan, so then your armpits turn green.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people have tried to do it and get away with it.
Yep.
It didn't work.
And you can tell. You can very much tell.
So everybody stinks, like tanner and no deodorant.
It looks glamorous,
but, they look
but
great.
It is not.
They have shiny bikinis on and they look great in their little bodies. But yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so, I think highly of people that do that. So I think that's amazing that you've done that for yourself and are doing it now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. And has a baby and has a career and has a significant other and does all the things.
Trying to do it all.
Well, I feel very lucky to have gotten to meet you, for sure. I mean, it's so weird how, like, we cross, just random cross paths, yes, and mm-hmm. you looking for a place to find some experience. And yeah, I think it's cool. And we live in the same neck of the woods.
We do, yes.
Yeah, which is fun, that's too. Great. But I love that you're in this, I think it's a very unique space. Most of the time when you hear about dietitians in, like, nutrition that has to do with sports are all, like, sport nutritions, like, you know, work for a college team or want to do that. So it's mm-hmm. interesting to see, like, this other side of sports nutrition, basically, that's not so focused in on those actual athletes, that mm-hmm. those recreational athletes. I love that. I'll think of that all the time.
So much fun.
Yeah. Are you going to compete? Are you going to do a competition yourself?
I think I'm going to do one in November.
Okay.
Here in Des Moines.
Good for you.
So yeah, we're just going to.
I'm going to be watching you on social media.
Yeah.
You better share it.
Yes.
You'll have to. I will put your social media handle in the show notes so you guys can see her adorable baby, Stella. And then she also shares lots of good inspirational and educational stuff too. So yeah. Okay, are you ready for some hard questions? Because those were all the easy ones.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's go.
Why don't you share with me some foods that you enjoy?
Oh my gosh. My favorite food is macaroni and cheese.
Is that
hands
really?
Down. Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Do you make it from scratch or do you?
Nope, the Kraft.
Kraft
macaroni and cheese. Yep. I grew up on Kraft macaroni and cheese. I lived on it in college. And
so good.
Yeah.
Have you ever made it with heavy whipping cream?
No.
Oh my God. Or half and half. Since you're in a building stage.
I know. Now's the time to do it.
I feel like you need to try this. It's like next level. It just makes it like.
Instead of the milk?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. My friend Stacy, who's a chef, she's like, you want to take your Kraft macaroni and cheese next level, half and half or heavy whipping cream. So good.
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
This weekend,
I need to do that.
Any other foods that you enjoy?
I'm not a big sweets person. So I'm about all the salty. You know, I love pizza and burgers and French fries and potato chips and I'm all about it. Nachos.
Love it.
Oh my gosh. Mexican. All about it.
You can tell she's in a building stage right now. She's like thinking of all the things. Check, check, check. What about beverages that you enjoy?
I mean, I'm going to be lame and say water.
I do like water. I think we all love our water. Nope, yes. Not lame at all.
Yes. You know, other than that, I mean, I guess if we're sticking with non-alcoholic.
You can do both.
Great.
No, there's nothing off the table.
Excellent. Really, the only non-alcoholic I like. Oh, and Fresca. I'm a big Fresca fan.
Gosh, I haven't had a Fresca forever.
I
used to love Fresca.
Yes. It's so good. Yeah. Yes. Delicious. Oh my gosh. As you can tell, I'm a big mimosa fan. Margaritas.
Love it.
Love it. Mules. Moscow mules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's getting to be that time too.
It is.
It's like getting close to patio weather.
I know. So it's my exciting. Favorite. It's my favorite.
What about scents or smells that you enjoy?
Ooh. I'm a little cliche and I do like lavender, the lavender vanilla.
It's so relaxing.
I love that. Yep. You know, the like Christmas, I have a Christmas candle that's like cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Caramel, vanilla, something or other.
Oh,
just
it sounds delicious. Yeah. It's like you want to eat it.
Yes. So that's one of my favorites. Again, I kind of like the seasonal.
Yes. Yeah.
Smells.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Most of us are kind of seasonal. Lavender is always good, though.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Always good. I started like getting, I'm not into essential oils by any means, but I do sometimes after a day of like madness, I will do a little like lavender just on my pillowcase or something just to like calm my ass
so
down. Because I'm like, I've got to like quit freaking out about everything. Who would be someone, whether they're living or they're passed on, that you would love to sit and have a meal with or a coffee or a mimosa or just a chat with?
Well, if I'm being nerdy, I mean, I mentioned Dr. Lane Norton.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a crush on him.
I mean, he's kind of cute.
He is cute and he's smart and
yes,
good looking.
He's
and
got a
so,
nice body.
Right.
Yep. He's like,
to have a conversation. Again, he's such a blunt, you know, straightforward person. Just again, and not necessarily talking about nutrition, but just life in general, and his mindset is so, again, very inspirational and motivating, and just kind of a go-getter person. So I feel like just in the realm of nutrition and everything that I'm in and bodybuilding and everything, I just feel like a conversation with him would be awesome about everything mm-hmm. in life.
I want to see his Alero that he drives.
Right, I know.
Because I used to drive the Oldsmobile Intrigue, which was like one step up from the Alero. And that's, I really wanted an Alero and I never got one. So that just makes me, I love that about him.
Yes. Yes, I love it. Yeah.
That's a good one though.
That's all I can think of.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
He better bring Holly along, though, because I feel like you would probably...
I think they're getting a divorce.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So, has that been on social media?
Mm-hmm. Aww. Yeah. I think it's kind of a little hush-hush, but...
That's too bad.
I know.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, Lane, we got you. If you want to connect with some fun people, right. You can come to Iowa.
Come to Des Moines.
I think he's from Indiana, so it's like he kind of knows what the Midwest is like, right? Yeah. He's aware.
Yeah. He understands.
And what brings you joy in life?
Oh, my gosh. My daughter. She's just so awesome. You know, and kind of, I mean, she was not planned by any means, but she just, you know, kind of life throws you curveballs and just being so unexpected. But she is the funnest little kid ever. And you're like, how is that possible? Like that, how did I make that?
You know, like, that little sweet booger.
Yeah. She just, you know, you can just be having the worst day and just her little smile and you're like, nothing else matters. Nothing.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic.
You went through a lot during that time, but oh my gosh, the reward was huge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was totally worth it.
I remember telling my coworkers of my intern that was surprisingly expecting and they were just like, oh my gosh, bless her. Like they all were just like, how is she going to get through her internship? And I'm like, she's got a really good internship. So it all worked out really well. But yes, I think that it's amazing how you can do hard things. And then when you're not doing them anymore, you're like, I got through that. And then I have this and then I have this and this is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do.
Yeah, you did well, girl.
Well, thanks. It wasn't easy, that's for sure.
Well, thanks so much for coming over.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
This is so fun. Maria, actually, I met Maria because we connected as she was my intern, which she was kind of a intern in a crazy time coming off of COVID. She was doing a distance internship. And so it was really great to have her and I work together on a few things and to me to learn from Maria, because I think her area of expertise is one that isn't talked about a lot in our profession. There is definitely a need for more of the dietitian who focuses on the recreational athlete instead of the professional athlete or the college athlete or the high school athlete. And there are people in the gym, there's people that are interested in bodybuilding that need a dietitian so they don't end up kind of experiencing what Maria did when she got into bodybuilding. And I love that she shared her story, her personal story. I also think it's absolutely amazing that Maria went back to school, she got her master's, and she felt like there was a missing piece with her master's in nutrition and, you know, still went on to do her dietetic internship and became that RD, because that is no easy feat to get all of that done. So I really think so highly of her for taking that leap and investing in the profession. And again, there's just something about people that intentionally go back and become a second career dietitian because you know that they have such a sincere passion about this profession. So nothing else rejuvenates you. I even said this in a previous podcast. People like Maria definitely do. If you'd like to connect with Maria, chat with her about what she's doing, especially in this kind of a different area of dietetics, I linked her Instagram and her website, Trek Nutrition website, in the show notes. So please reach out to her. Remember to be great always, find the joy in each day, and to start a conversation that truly matters.